Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made the heavens and the earth, who keep it to root forever, and who never forsakes the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalter number 15, the three stanzas. Lord, our Lord, thy glorious name all thy wondrous works proclaim. In the heavens with radiant signs, evermore thy glory shines. What follows, number 15, the three stanzas.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading is out of the book of the Psalms, Psalm 40, 40. First we read the holy law of God out of Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 40, 40. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us ward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Thus far the reading of the scriptures. We have to remember in prayer, congregation, with sorrow we announce to the congregation that Mr. Jacob van Lieren has passed away early yesterday morning in Bethesda at the age of 78 years. And we announce that Mr. Bill Bezoyen from the Lethbridge congregation passed away on December 18 in Eventide care home at the age of 92 years. Then we have to remember in prayer that Mr. and Mrs. André and Caroline van de Bruinhorst, 25 years, and Mr. and Mrs. Adrian and Pieternella Hengsmengel, 58 years. Let us try to seek the Lord's countenance in prayer. Lord, about the passing away of members who have been for so many years among us in the congregations, we command them who are left behind, widows, children, grandchildren, brothers, sisters, relations, will thou sanctify the callings. And they had to do what is coming for all of us, because it is appointed to man once to die, and afterwards the judgment. And that is instantly when we pass away. Then it goes into an eternal well or an eternal bow. And by nature, it is an eternal bow. And it is that number chosen by thee from all eternity for whom it will be an eternal well. And in both cases, endless. Oh, what a weighty thing to be a human being. And what a weighty thing to be as a human being under the true doctrine. Where we have to think in this part of the world and this nation and province for how many that they do not have any understanding of what the true doctrine is. And it is a heavy load upon all of us that also on a day like this, buying and selling is going on. That will become for the rulers a matter of responsibility and to give an account to the Lord how they were able to tolerate these things. And we don't mention this because we are better, but hopefully different. And that is the change, Lord, when we think about the true doctrine. And by that doctrine, the true conversion, which is a necessity and an impossibility, both. A necessity for all of us and an impossibility from man's side, but not from thy side. Oh, look upon us and our dear children and grandchildren. Wilt thou visit today the congregation? May we command unto thee to that end the brothers, elders, and deacons, but then also the ministers in this part of Canada. Oh, help them as well, and give from time to time new ones who are called by thee to that holy office. We command unto thee the empty places in the families and in the congregations. Every Sunday again, they have the confrontation with that empty place. Oh, remember. Remember to that end also the young people. So often, it has taken place in the churches that also young people had to die by accidents or other reasons. Give our dear children not to oppose what their parents try to tell them, to obey their father and mother if they still may have parents, and the teachers and the office bearers of the congregation, and to be on a young age already a pilgrim and in a solitary position compared to so many others, but such a position that they know the true doctrine, and that's not enough. It is much, but the most is to know the God of that doctrine. And we lay our dear youth before thee, Lord, with the request, if thou wilt convert them, and to use them also, where we think about the boys that they receive of thee an office, and to serve the congregations, and that the girls may become mothers in Israel. Remember worldwide thy people. Remember also where there was also the passing away of members related to members of the congregations. Oh, remember them as well, Lord. Also the ages of 78 and 92 years old and then eternity. Oh, they have received many years, and we may know under the true doctrine. Then we leave it unto thee and unto them, how the tree has been fallen. Prepare us for the same thing. Give also this morning, in the preaching of thy word, the opening of the scriptures and the text, the piercing of our ears, and the reception in our hearts, that are for us things which are impossible, but that is thy work. And then we have a pleading ground upon what thou hast written, where two or three are gathered in my name, and then it is not maybe, but I will be in their midst. Lord, that is what we need so very much. Remember worldwide where thy church is, even in countries where they have to cope with enmity and backsliding as well. Remember the nation of Israel. They are still, according their own confession, in the Old Testament. But they have a big mistake. And we ask thee to take that away and to change that they may learn that we are already in the New Testament, and that the coming of Jesus Christ is already behind us. His last coming is ahead of us. Oh, prepare that nation with all the gifts that they have and the power that they have, but that is missed, that they have no New Testament. We have seen it, what they did with it. Oh, remember, Lord. But then when we have both testaments, may they receive the entrance into our souls. Remember then also them who are widows, widowers, orphans. And as we mentioned already, the empty places, oh, look upon them too. Open the scriptures. Be with the churches worldwide and grant an hour that we have no disturbance and nothing to hinder us in speaking or in listening, but that we may come at the end and then that we can admit it was good to be at that place. And as we mention so often, that cannot be because of this one or that. How important it is to have thy children among us, but then also because thy presence. And O Lord, when we have to confess still until today to be unconverted, may we beseech thee, may we beg of thee that that happens today, that it comes to the work of to be born again. The wonder of regeneration. Art thou not a wonder-doing God? Dost thou not know how it is with us at the outside and at the inside? O Lord, use then the preaching, prayer, and so much is also written in the language of this country by our fathers, that we shall be hungry to know it, to read it, and to digest it, and to believe it. Remember so, young and old, wherever we are listening, or remember in the manner too, for Christ's sake only. He is at the right hand of thee, the Father, and is our pleading ground. Unto thee, amen. Let us continue by singing number 110, the three stanzas, Thy tender mercies, O my Lord, withhold not, I implore, but let Thy kindness and Thy truth preserve me evermore. 110, the three stanzas.
Thank you.
of it, the congregation, time is going fast. The year is almost at the end. The messages of the Bible preached by the ministers and read by the elders that took place every Lord's Day and other times, and the Lord has again given his help to preach and to read the sermons, and then we include also the school and our teachers and the pupils, that so much is done on the basis of the scriptures, also in the classrooms, but also the confession class and the catechism classes, compared to other places on earth where they don't have this, where they have 7 days the same thing. And that is also in North America. That's also in Alberta. But yet we still may have our places of worship, even protected, if necessary, by the government. And while we are in the house of the Lord, if you may have a minister to preach or an elder who is reading, then you hear the true doctrine. And that doctrine, boys and girls, when you think about your catechism class and your confession class, that doctrine that is old and always new. When I think back about the years when you were 4 years in Rotterdam on the theological school, then your first 2 years you are just in the building every week, 3 days of a week. And then come the 2 years that you go through the vacant churches with about 100 in that time of the 150, 160 congregations. So you was then every Sunday on another pulpit. But what was striking, that you had people in front of you who saw you for the first time, you saw them for the first time, but the truth, the doctrine, that bounds together. And then if the Lord, and I have to go to my text, but forgive me, let me say what the late reverend here was teacher and was also leading the students for many years, and then you got your text and you have to preach for the other students and some ministers, and about 20 minutes stop, and then you went out of the church to the building again, and they sit all around the table. And at first, the students have to give their comments about that short sermon. And then the ministers, 3 or 4. And he always the last one. And the best is that you write down what they say. But then, he said, sometimes I heard nothing. But that's not so best, that's not so good, eh? But he says, boy, that text, what is now that text? You have to open it. Yeah, but that is the Lord's work. Yeah, instrumentally, you are the one who need to explain that text. And you can talk in a common way about a lot of things of the truth, but what says the text? And then you sit there with your other students, And you think that will never happen to become a minister. That's impossible. And it is. It is. But then with the gifts that the Lord gave him, and the best is I tell you to write it down, then he gave you things out of that text. Oh, you say, I didn't see that. No, that's what I noticed. But that is now what the congregation need to hear. What is that text? And then about 34,000, 35,000 texts in the Bible. That's quite something. And there is, in the time of Smijtegeld, he preached for more than 1 year out of the same texts. Other texts too, but also that texts. Oh, then our Bible is so rich, young people. It's such a treasure that is the Lord speaking to you. With hopefully the effect that you speak to the Lord in your prayer. And that you say, Lord, I hope to sit there for an hour. Will thou help that minister or that elder in reading? And then on Monday morning, they around you, they had their business, awful enough. And what do you have? Me? I went to church. To church? You still go to church? Yes, I do. And what do you get there? Well, that's a nice opportunity to deliver a sermon of 5 minutes. And you know, that you can say, especially with them, with whom you are familiar and together for maybe many years, that you are able to say, you know it. I told it you. You do not say, I am free of your blood. And that is something. And yet you are. Do you see the necessity? Do you see the impossibility, what you gather here today, to distribute that tomorrow? And there are cases that it was so complicated in the business and that nobody had a solution. But yeah, that churchman over there asked him too. A little bit strange, but he is sometimes so smart. And then they from their side, their impossibility, they gave a few hints. Oh, they say, stop, that's what we need. Thank you so much. Young people, do you hear this? When they give you the instruction of the confession, elders, ministers, that is for your soul and that is for hereafter. And that is to use it today in the place where you are. And we know cases that they say, the doctrine is so complicated and, in my opinion, old-fashioned. But his job, I wish they had all that attitude. Psalm 40, verse 7 and 8 for this morning with the help of the Lord. Psalm 40, 7 and 8, there we read. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea. Thy law is within my heart. Thus far, Psalm 40, the verses 7 and 8. Christ speaking to his heavenly Father is our theme. Christ speaking to his heavenly Father. With the Lord's help, congregation, 3 different points. First, the appointed time of this speaking. That is in that verse 7. Then. the appointed time of this speaking. Secondly, the rich and beneficial contents of this speaking. Because it says about, I come. Who? The Lord. To where? To his church. From where? From heaven. I come. So the rich and beneficial contents of this speaking, the contents is that he says, I come. And I delight to do thy will. Oh my God. And boys and girls, you hear that sometimes often, eh? That, oh my God. And they don't know what they say, but it is for you an opportunity. When there is a moment that you say, listen. What you are saying, you don't know what you are saying. Because you own God. Does he own you? I'm afraid no. The rich and beneficial contents of this speaking, the third point, the required effect upon this speaking. The required effect when it says, I delight to do thy will. Oh my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Thy law, that is the Lord's speaking to Israel and in the New Testament to the whole world. That is the word of God. And to get it here in the ears, there's still that short distance to the heart. As we often told you of Lydia, the Lord opened her heart, congregation. When that happens, and it happens under a sermon, and you come home, then you have to bow your knees. You say, Lord, that went deeper as usual under that sermon, that heart. That heart is within my heart. And we have a physical heart. And if you think about the surgeons, how they can even work to get it better if possible, that's unbelievable how they can do it. But to reach the heart spiritual wise, that is not done by surgeons, but it is done by sermons. When an elder is reading, or a minister is preaching, and is it your custom coming home, and you still may have one another, that you ask about the sermon? Don't wait too much and too long. Ask it your children too. Let it be a habit, a custom. Say, listen, can you give me a short outline of that sermon? And you are, told you often, you are sometimes so amazed how they can reproduce what they have heard. So that Psalm 40, the verses 7 and 8, then said I, lo, I come. And of course that word then, that combines to what is written before. If I read verse 6, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Well, the Lord instituted them. Yeah. Provisional, temporary. Mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. It seems that it is pushed aside. But that is now, congregation, before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when he was not yet among them, oh, then they had the true doctrine. But when we read then in the New Testament how Mary in her pregnancy, which was not of Joseph. And that was also a complicated, of course, than a riddle. But that was solved. It was explained to both of them, because he first thought to leave her. But then the angel, no, he says, you don't need to leave. I can tell you, it is not of anybody else, it is of the Holy Spirit. Her pregnancy, that means that she shall be delivered. And that little child, that is the Lord Jesus. Is that Christ? Is he a baby? He is. Is he God as a babe? Yeah, he is. He is. And he shall grow up about in the 30s, the early 30s of his year. And then, well, we read that he died, that he was buried, but we read also of his resurrection. And the days of his resurrection are not that many as before. And they came to an end, but we shall never forget how we saw his hands above us, and we saw him leaving till a cloud took it away. That has been seen by the disciples. And then you read a few times that they saw him. Think about Stephen. He saw the heavens opened. But he is there till it is all fulfilled. The Bible says, and all eye will see him. But then is the question, have you seen him earlier than that moment? Well, what do you mean? Have you seen him in the sermon? That he came to you when it was preached, when it was read by an elder. Christ speaking to his heavenly Father, the appointed time of this speaking, when it says in that verse 40, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, and we have here to emphasize that I come. There were before him prophets, but it was not Christ himself. So he knew where he is from eternity, but his body is not from eternity. That body congregation, as we know, he had not a natural father, but he had a natural mother. And when then the birth takes place, then we read about his growing up, and we read also, you read about his sermons, the wonders that he did, and then the moment of ascension, leaving, coming in heaven, and from there out, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, Christ speaking to his heavenly Father. The appointed time of this coming, that word then, that is determined that it is at that time, then. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, that goes through the Old Testament. And we have the coming itself in the New Testament. But so many texts in the Old Testament speaks about that coming. The appointed time of this coming. And we have that again, congregation. When you think about Christmas, the time of Advent. And when you think about his ascension and all what is in between, all his coming to this earth is such a wonder that he was there in person. But then is also the question, did he come to us already? The appointed time of his coming, and in that time his speaking. Because it says in the volume of the book, it is written of me. And I said in that second point, there is beneficial contents of this speaking. And now we have his speaking out of his own mouth. But his speaking that starts with the book of Genesis. Because it is the Holy Spirit who gave us the Bible. And then of course there is not the birth of Christ, but it is there a triune God. That he became man. That means of course that there was a time that he was not physical, that he had no body so to speak, but Father, Son and Holy Ghost that has no beginning, that is from eternity into eternity. So when he says I come, that is for the Old Testament, for Israel, the promise that he shall live among them, that they shall have him, so to speak, sitting at the table, as you have that instruction in the New Testament. But then is of course the question, when we say Christ speaking to his heavenly Father, the appointed time of this speaking, congregation, when he was upon earth, then he knew that would come to an end. And that the eyes of the disciples saw him leaving. Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Is he now gone forever? Yes, I know. He left behind the word of God. Old and New Testament. He left behind the church of that time already. Israel in the Old Testament, but then also the Gentiles in the New Testament. We are also a part of it. The appointed time of this coming, that speaking of Christ, when he says, the Bible says here in verse 7, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. And then is the question, and then we finish that first point. How much was he brought to you by the preaching, by the reading? How much do you have in your bookcase? Think about young people, your catechism, confession class. You are in that way as congregation, you are set apart in the community. You have people around you. Oh yeah, you was in church yesterday. Yeah. Where was you? We were shopping. Is that the same? I think so. No. Then you was at the wrong place. How do you know that? What is your instruction? The Bible. The Bible says there is one day that we don't work except the works of necessity. Oh, Christ speaking to his heavenly Father, because then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. What does the world know about this? Nothing. What do you know about it? Well, you say, it is waiting actually till the last thing that he will come again. And did he told you when that will be? No, I don't think so. I have not a calendar with a date or something. Well, to be honest, they told me that the preaching has to be done worldwide. He shall not come when there are countries where they never have received the true doctrine. That's one thing that I know. So like mission, they go into countries and areas where they are the first ones coming with that Bible. If you mean about I come, then I would say, well, I see that as his coming. And especially that he says in the volume of the book is written of me, then when they come, that people, they have always a Bible with them. And they ask permission to read and to explain, so I think that is his coming. That is true. But now a little bit deeper, that he is coming, is that now also individual? Is that now also that he comes to you? Well, I think when I sit under a sermon that he comes to me. Because then they explain about him, they explain his Bible. Yeah. But is that then also for your soul spiritual food and drink? Well, that's something else. I know about it. I even read about it. But to say it is my meal, I dare not to say that. And then, congregation, how is that about you? Because you hear it through your ears, but now to get it in your heart, oh, you say, now I know what you mean, that Lydia, the Lord opened her heart, exactly. The rich and beneficial contents of that speaking. When the Lord opened her heart, that was upon the preaching of Paul. And Paul was God's tool. And now you can have a whole row of ministers and elders. But was one of them used to reach you at the inside, Noblefoot? Yeah. You want to do it myself? No. Well, you can try. But my doctrine is that it has to be done. By whom? By God. And did that happen then already? If they come in your home, and I told you more often, house visitation is maybe the most tender thing in church life. Because after some introduction, they want to know how it is with your inner man. And you knew they're coming. You was expecting them. Can also be suddenly, but in general it is organized. And the elders know it. I told you that more often. Congregation. To visit your people. That is a tender work. That is also a lovely work. It is not so that you convert people, but the Lord can use your words instrumentally for their conversion. That's all in that low icon. Because you sit there, and there was a sigh in your heart, Lord, will thou come? Will thou come tonight? When we sit there at that table, or on that couch, will thou be with us in that 45, 50 minutes of visiting? All office bearers, is it not a comfort, brothers? Lo, I come. How often that you have to ask, oh Lord, come to help, to go to that family, to go to that meeting, and so many things in church life. Then said I, lo, I come. Do we understand that it always is waiting upon his coming? Christ speaking to his heavenly Father, the appointed time of this speaking, the rich and beneficial contents of this speaking is in the text. What he says, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. That is something, if you may say that about yourself. Christ can say that whole Bible, that is my work. I am in that Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And as I told you several times, when we receive the Bible of a family, like, let's say in the kitchen, and you open it, and you have some spots that you think you spilled something, that means that volume of the book, that written word of God, and the owner of it, they have a very close relation. Because that what is written by the Lord. And the reader of it, or the listener to it, is now in a need and a desire to know that God. Then he says you have to read. And you have to go to the place where they explain you that what is read. And that you come home different as you left. That you say, you know, it says in the volume of the book, it is written of me, a congregation, in the true conversion. There comes the necessity for the knowledge of God. And I have to say, for the knowledge of a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that's now the only thing that you need to know and need to possess. And if that is now given, well, then the devil knows it too. And he shall attack that people day and night. And even in the Lord's permission, there comes often a load upon them. He has said, in this world, maybe you have tribulation. No. You shall have tribulation. But then the comma, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Even the commas are inspired by the Holy Spirit in the Bible congregation. And then is my question, Noblefort. Oh, this may be not wise always to say the same thing, how it all started. But that was a blessed time. To begin with a new church, that doesn't happen so often. I remember in that time when I called the late Reverend A.F. Hoenkoop, asking him some help. He says, boy, that is a rarity. that there is a new church. But yeah, he gave some instruction. And now thus far the Lord has taken care, having your ministers, having your elders. But then I ask you, do you have more? Oh, they say, I know what you mean. Your question is, if I have the Lord, yeah, that's exactly my question. But how do I get him? Is that really your need? Then I think you are often on your knees and trucker you in your truck. And you will send a short prayer to the Lord. And more or less you are in the community and the society, a kind of a pilgrim. No, that does not mean that your business is not 100%, it's 110%. But, to be honest, my heart is not in it. No, no. Where is that then? That is in the house of the Lord. When that minister or that elder who needs a sermon and the minister needs the text, when you feel that the Lord helps them, and that is for us, eh? That is for us. Boys and girls, do you hear that? Maybe you say, is a minister preaching to children too? Yes, of course. Of course. We may not skip over the little ones. And oh, there are sometimes cases, not often. But we had it a few times to bury a child for whom was hope. Yeah. Could give such a nice testimony before it closed the eyes. Oh, children, I know you are beset and occupied, especially with your world of electronica. But I have to warn you, it is time consuming and often to waste your time too. I do not say everything, but most of it. Oh, take care that you know that Bible and that you know the contents of the Bible. Do we not have a nice example in the Lord Jesus himself? He was 12 years old, children. Are you 12 years too? And then the wise men were sitting around him. And they were astonished about his questions and answers. Of course he was God, but he was also a child. Children, shall you not waste your time in that other world? Because that doesn't edify you at all. No, that is accusing you. Then you say, again an hour is gone. The Lord says, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. When someone says to you, this week I hope to come to you. Yeah, please can you say when? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Is the Lord giving a date? Not that I know of. Well, do we not have some cases which need to happen first? And that is that the gospel need to have been brought all over the world. That there is not a place where it has not been. Oh, there are places where it is not anymore. And that's a very important thing, congregation. And that the Jews may come to the acceptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The few times that we have been in that country, we were there as a committee for disaster fund. and to help in cases where it was really necessary. But that I have seen, literally, the hatred against the New Testament. You know what I told you about that. The hatred. And the people so polite and so smart, because a Jew is special. I don't know how to say it, but they have gifts. They have. But what they also, what they don't have, that is the acceptation of that New Testament. And if you throw that away, then you cannot be saved. Because then you throw him away. Is there now difference between you and them? You say, to be honest, in a way, no. Because I heard hundreds of sermons, and thus far, it came here, but it didn't come here. How to get it there? Oh, I hope that drives you out to the Lord, that you say, Lord, I cannot deny the doctrine that thou art distributing among us every Sunday and other times. But I still miss the application. Oh, dear hearer, let him know that you confess it, and in the meantime, using what is available, young people, do you hear it this morning? What is your wasted time? Yeah, I say I know what you mean. My electronic devices are dangerous. Often I think I have to stop, and still I go on. It is so attractive. But it is, in a way, waste of your precious time. Shall you seek the Lord in his word? And do you have, maybe people can be your own father or mother or brother or sister, of whom you know that they have received the Lord in their life? Shall you ask them how that went? Yeah, but that is something. I have nothing. Well, especially because you have nothing. Possibly that something from them comes in you too by the Lord's work. Of the text congregation, when it says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. That verse 8, I delight to do thy will. Has that come already in your heart as a request, as a confession? But then you need to know that will of God. And what is that will of God? That God will be glorified. That's always number one. And that his chosen ones will be saved. Yeah, you say, there you have it, eh? Chosen ones. And when I'm not, then all my church going with no result will even testify against me. Yeah. Yeah. Is your name placed out of it? Are you secluded? Are you set aside? Yeah, I think so. No, not I think so. Yes or no? Yeah. Then it is yes. Because thus far I can find nothing of God in me. What are you done doing here? Yeah. I have to be here. My parents, they take me with, and now I'm married, and we gave our yes, so. Yeah, but that's not enough, eh? Well, sometimes in a sermon, there is something he touched that I think, is that now God? Is that now the beginning? And I wait till the end of the sermon, and I go home, and I bow my knees. And I say, Lord, I don't know. But maybe that was speaking to me through that sermon. I dare not to talk to anybody about it, but I dare to say it unto thee. Oh, my ears, do you understand that as ministers we have to bring the full counsel of God to the hearers? But the conversion is God's work. And yet, it is something that cannot be missed. And that is now first what you need to learn, that you cannot miss it. And yet you feel thus far, I miss it. But then from this place, you have the invitation. What is the invitation? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I throw you away. No, no, no. I give you rest. Yeah, but that is to his people. No, that comes in the Bible to each one who hears it. Who hears it. Because when the Lord is calling, that outwardly calling that comes to all of us. But now to get it from here a little bit lower. And that is my hearer. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. The required affection upon this speaking, when it says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. You see, I dare not to say that. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Then we speak about the person who is confessing what the Lord has done. And the volume of the book, the word of God, is preached to them. It is from out of the mouth of the preacher to your ears. But now thy law is within my heart. Remains that unanswered? Are you going home? And did you forget that last part of that verse 8 of that Psalm 40? If you may confess it to the Lord, I delight to do thy will, O my God. That comes to him, not only by your mouth and lips, but that is the language then of your heart. And that is also in that request a choice. That is to seclude the things of the world and to become familiar with the things of the Lord. Yeah, but then you say, I have so many obstacles and so many confrontations that in no time my power is gone and my desire is gone too. That belongs to our deep fall in paradise congregation. And when there comes from the sight of man by the work of God a little resurrection, that Satan is right away there to destroy that totally. and completely. But if it says, I delight to do thy will, O my God, if that comes in his ears, in the ears of the Lord congregation, he doesn't throw that away. Oh no. Oh no. And when they say, thy law is within my heart, that is actually a confession of the true conversion. And then you say, yeah, and that is now just what I miss. But that is now this morning preached to you to go home with that text and the other 34,000, 35,000 in the Bible, all accessible for missing ones and for seeking ones. Faith is by hearing, and hearing is by the word of God. We have to sing because of the time. 2:43. The stanzas 1 through 5. 2:43. In visions to his saints God spake. From out the people one I take. And what follows? 2:43, stanzas 1 through 5.
Thank you.
beloved hearers, because of the time I have to finish, is the law in your heart? How do I know that? Then as a result, you shall bow your knees. As you shall begin to speak to that unknown God. And you shall ask him to teach you, leading you in his ways. While you were singing, my thoughts went back when the late Reverend Lemaine was still living, with whom we had correspondence for a number of years. And in one of his letters, he wrote about Rotterdam South. And we knew that congregation very well because we lived for 20 years in Rotterdam. And then he says at the end of that letter, "Oh, that South, oh, that South." There we had our singing time, and he was there, I believe, for 11 years. That law congregation, you hear it every Sunday, was that already brought in your heart? When does that happen? In your conversion. Then you begin to understand something of the holy will of the Lord and of your own will. And then you begin to learn what it means to be an enemy of God. And now I read in the Bible, not that friends will be reconciled with God, but enemies. Enemies. Yeah. Do you know what that means? That you all can be converted. Yeah. But understand it well. The conversion is the work of a triune God. And he is doing that instrumentally. So young people and every age, never, never leave your place vacant. When there is a weak service, lay the things down. Say, "I have to go to church." No, yeah, tonight I go to church. But it's not Sunday, no. But in a weak service, you can also become converted. And now we have here, we have only two kinds of people. Yeah. What are they? There is a converted number and unconverted. I think that unconverted people, that they are in a hurry. That they make haste to do what? To become converted, of course. Yeah, but you have said it is a work of God. Yeah, but instrumentally, he is using the means, and you see never the place vacant. And not only they sit there, but they say, "Lord, I get it here, but bring it please a little bit lower." Because of that Lydia, I read that the Lord opened her heart. Dear congregation, shall you try to lay that before him? Boys and girls, shall you obey your parents if you still have them, and your teachers, office bearers, going through the congregation? I said that often, there is not a more tender work than house visitation. And you'd bow your knees before you go, I know. And then to sit there. To sit there. And oh, the Lord knows your impossibility. But he is faithful. He is always faithful to help his servants. Also elders and deacons. And what is it a nice thing when he gives some opening. And you get some freedom. And that it goes to the center point of the Bible. What is that? Boys, girls, Christ Jesus. An old experienced woman years ago. I still hear it out of her mouth in my memory. She says, before the knowledge of the second person, it can still go into two directions. And if that second person comes over our congregation, then you taste in Christ the love of God, and that to such a one, not to friends, but to enemies. To enemies, fathers in my midst, shall you be a priest in your house? Mothers, asked to be a mother in Israel. Is there no father anymore? Is there no mother anymore? Or maybe both are gone. Oh, then children, help them when they are without husband or without wife. But also be then an example in the community, young people. May I warn you, and your minister is doing that too, I know that. May I warn you for all what is available in the world of electronica. Take care that you know the scriptures, and that you know the God of the scriptures, and the people of the scriptures. Do we not have a nice example with Orpah and Ruth? Both were not Jewish, but that old mother Naomi. She says, now you brought me far enough. Now you have to go back to your own country. And it was for Ruth impossible. The Bible says she cleaved unto her. She cleaved to Haran. She cleaved unto her. Do we still have in the congregation that kind of Naomi's? Oh, that the Lord may remember. And that he may do his work in the hearts of each one of us. In that respect, it cannot be missed. And when there comes some opening of freedom in the knowledge of the mediator, oh, there is a further way. Think about the disciples. He took some a little bit more further with him to in Gethsemane. But where he comes, my hearers, then it cannot go into two directions anymore. That's why that people always were listening to the place of Christ in the life of his people. And in that respect, we have to do with a long-suffering God. The patience of the Lord cannot be put in human words, but long-suffering is not endless. And when the end is coming, oh, that we be prepared, and that work of generation has taken place. In that respect, be faithful in attending the means of grace. To that end, congregation, we have precious books to read. We have the Bible in the first place. And I hope that we have here and there people to whom you may go just to listen. Oh, we have to finish, and I will try, with all the shortcomings of preaching. He has given so much. Also when we have to start here the new congregation, that is all behind us, but it was once before us. And we shall never forget that first sermon, when we had the new congregation and we thought the Lethbridge are empty places and they thought here, but that both sides it was filled. So it will also once be filled, but not at both sides, in heaven. Oh, where will be your place? Are you prepared or ready to meet your Maker? Have you seen something of who the Father is, who the Son is, and who the Holy Spirit is? That's why you're here in this church, to get to know them, and by that knowledge to get to know who you are. But then also, and with this I close, the faithfulness of the Lord, he says, I change not. People of God, lean upon that. Amen. Lord, we need for every sermon forgiveness in speaking and in listening, as it is always from our side too short. But we beseech thee also for the words of this morning, that thou wilt sanctify it for our immortal souls. May we commend each one unto thee, widowers, widows, orphans, handicapped ones, all kind of difficulties maybe in family life. Help the brothers, elders and deacons with their minister. And wilt thou do thy work in the hearts, Lord. Oh, remember the denomination. Remember also the province and the country. Bring each one safely home. Pardon all the shortcomings, we ask it. And that in the name of him who is at thy right hand, and he waits for the last degree of exaltation, then all I will see him. Give us eyes now to see him now. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 448, the stanzas 1 and 4. Blessed be the God of Israel, the Lord who visited his own. And we announce, congregation, that at the male members meeting held December 19, the following office bearers were chosen for elder, Mr. Rick de Kock and John Liefting, for deacon, Mr. Ben Vandenberg and Chris Vossenbelt. Mr. John Liefting did not have the freedom to accept his office. All others have accepted their respective offices. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory before January 3. There will be Christmas Day services on Wednesday, December 25 at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. and the funeral arrangements for Mr. Jacob van Lieren are as follows. There will be an opportunity for condolences on Thursday evening, December 26, from 7 to 8 p.m., and the funeral service is scheduled for Friday morning, December 27, at 10 a.m. Psalter 448, 1 and 4.
Thank you.
Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.